This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
September's a great month. All right. Guys, we have 8 months down out of the year. We've got four more remaining. What have you done with those 8 months? What will you do with the next four that you are given? Assuming that we are given those 4 months. And we never know. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me today. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be free today. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And with it, the day of the Lord's anger against their enemies has come as well. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God, and you will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering. I'll read that one more time. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world, and everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, with plants springing up everywhere. Let's bow our heads. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. That is out of Isaiah chapter 61. And I thought, man, I feel the same way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It says, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Guys, I have great news. Not just good news, but great news. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be light in a dark world. And he came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. But I love where it says in verse 10 of Isaiah 61, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. And there's so many promises. He said, man, I'm here to bring good news, freedom to you. Everlasting joy he has brought to you. He said, for those who mourn, he has brought comfort. I remember we read months ago, he said, I have comforted you in your time of need, so that you can comfort others in their time of need. He's given us an example. He's here to comfort us. The greatest comfort sometimes when we go through things is the company and companionship of someone. It's not this. Well, the Lord has done this so that you don't know. But we think, man, we've got to say something. Not always. Just be there. And I want us to know sometimes when we go through our trials and our struggles, God says, hey, guess what? I'm just here walking with you. I want you to listen to me. And I want you to just walk in me. God, you're not saying anything. Exactly. Just be quiet. Let's just walk together. Now, let's see what you see. Let's see what you observe. Let's see what you're learning in this situation. Looking mostly towards our younger folks. I like how Tim ducked. When your parents are disciplining you, you love it when they just go over and over and over and over and over the problem, right? Oh, no, just once is good enough for you? Parents are thinking they didn't catch it the first time, so I've got to go over and over and over again. And God sometimes does the same thing. He thinks, I don't need to tell you 20 times. I've told you once. Matter of fact, my word showed you once. Do you need more than that? The Lord has come to bring us comfort. He's come to bring everlasting joy. We talked Wednesday night about happiness and joy. Someone said they're not the same thing, and that's true, they're not. Happiness goes away. That comes and goes with things attached to it. But joy is something internal. Happiness is an emotion. But joy is something that we have inside us. We talked about rest in the Lord as well. Now, that's a rest that God brings. Sleep can't bring that same type of rest. Matter of fact, let me look just real quick. See if I mentioned that. I did, but it's in my other Bible, so I don't know where it is. Okay, great. I'll be lost in this Bible trying to find my little notes that I've written over time. But God says, man, I've come to bring you everlasting joy, comfort, favor, festive praise. Did anyone hear that? I've come to bring you festive praise. We can have that. We asked a couple Sundays ago, Wednesdays ago, that's why we mentioned last Sunday. Anybody holding back? Don't hold back. Because we asked on Wednesday night, are you guys holding back and praising God? Yeah. Almost everybody at one point or another. Yeah, I've held back. Why? I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if this church allows this. I don't know if someone did it and I thought it was kind of weird and it threw me off. And, well, I'm wondering what my neighbors will say. I'm not comfortable doing this. Well, that isn't the only form of praise. Is it? No. That's one person. The other person may say, oh, that's not enough. Got to have both hands up. I told them, start with that video, you know, holding the large screen TV. Praise God. Yes, praise God. Rocking on your toes, you know, washing the window. Doing the double washing the window. Different types of praise for different people. Some people say, I don't like washing windows. I'm not doing that praise. All these different praises, and we hold back. But he says, I've come to give you festive praise. A crown of beauty. Restoration, revival, faithful reward, he promises there. A double share of honor, a double portion of prosperity. Notice when we read that it says, a double portion of prosperity, where? In your land. Don't go in someone else's land looking for your prosperity. I'm just saying. He tells us where to find that double portion of prosperity in your land. And justice. Now, many of us are looking for justice here on earth. And we may not find it here on earth. But he says, that belongs to me. That belongs to me right there. And he says, in verse 8 of Isaiah 61, it says, for I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery, and I hate wrongdoing. That's in the body of Christ, people. He hates robbery and wrongdoing in the body of Christ as well. He doesn't say outside of the church. And he says, I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering. If you're suffering, if you're struggling, if you're going through things, he says, I will faithfully reward you. Lord, when I've put it on my calendar by next week, maybe you could do it by then. You know, Dwayne, all I think about is your ring. Lord, if you could just return my ring to me, that means so much to me. If you would just faithfully reward me. He did. In His timing. I pictured Dwayne posting things, looking for my class ring. Someone want a daughter that throws rings out the window? Here she is, free. No charge. Maybe even ads, looking for class ring lost along the highway about 60 miles an hour. Well, back then, probably 80. But God says, man, in my time, I'll do this. I will faithfully reward my people for what? For their suffering. Now, it doesn't say that's the only reward we get from God, as if we suffer. But He says, in your suffering, I will faithfully reward you. My sister asked me about a week and a half ago, if I would pray for her son was killed 7 years ago, as many of you know, down on 23rd Street. And about every year she has an event. She said, would you pray for that? And I said, well, I'm working on this sermon. I think I have something that will tie in greatly. But she said, when we got there, my brother's going to do a short prayer. I looked at her and said, short prayer? I'm a pastor. She said, take however much time you need. And I said, I could pray right now, and I could pray for this and that and the healing, but I said, I really have to explain in my mind what I'm praying for. And what I was praying for was this, that those that were suffering, it was some other people that had lost loved ones due to criminal acts and homicides. And I said, I could pray that you just find peace. I could pray for healing and forgiveness, but I wanted to explain why I was praying those things. And so I read these scriptures there, not all of them, but I read some of them there. And I said, justice belongs to God, and we want it here on earth so much. And I don't care if that's just justice for healing. It could be justice for a criminal act or whatever, but it says, man, that stuff belongs to God, and He'll take care of that. We may not get it here on this side of earth. And I said, sometimes we build prisons that we're in. Now, there's different architects for different prisons. I'm in a prison that my family built. I'm in a prison that my friends built. I'm in a prison that my loved one built. I'm in a prison that I built myself. I told Jan, the worst architect of all of the prison that you're in is yourself, when you're the architect. Because you know all the ins and outs of that prison that you built. And sometimes you won't let yourself out of it. But God, in Psalm 142, the psalmist David is crying out to God at this point. And he's crying out to God and said, oh God, this is a day of rescue. We're going to read another one here in just a minute, another psalm. But in Psalm 142, he says, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before Him, and I tell Him all my troubles. Sound familiar? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But it says, when I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. It isn't Facebook. It isn't Instagram. It isn't our friends. It isn't our family. You alone know the way I should turn. When I am what? Overwhelmed. When I've just had it. And I think, what more? What now? And it says, wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. Anybody ever feel like every place I go, my enemy is there waiting for me? We just read Wednesday night in our Bible study that the enemy is like a roaring lion prowling around waiting for those to consume. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord, and I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. And he says, bring me out of the prison so I can thank you. And many of us have walled ourselves into this prison. He says, I'm just waiting for you to knock down the walls. You've built a prison. You've assembled those walls. And sometimes the best way to get out of those is we've just got to take it down one brick at a time. And that's hard, and it's lengthy, and it's painful. But it wasn't when we were building it. When we were building it one brick at a time, it may have been long and lengthy, but it's like, we're making progress. We're making progress. Holy cow, it's almost done. Look at this. Woohoo! And then we're in it going, oh, crud, I got to take this thing down one brick at a time. But here David says, bring me out of prison. Why? So I can thank you. We can't thank him while in prison. We can't praise him. And I know on the surface you're saying, yes, we can. Paul and Silas were in prison and they praised God all night long. Yes, we can. But what I'm saying is God wants us to be free from the bondage that we put ourselves in. And he wants us being able to thank him and to praise him freely. It's hard to be free when you're shackled, but you can still praise him like Paul and Silas did. Turn to Psalm 18, if you would. Psalm 18. While you're turning to 18, what I read this morning in our call to worship was from Psalm 16, and it said, that was what I was looking for earlier, it said, no wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice, my body rests in safety. So Psalm 18, verse 16 through 30. I won't read the whole thing, but this is where David, again, David singing out to the Lord. He said, man, this is a day that the Lord has rescued me from all my enemies and from Saul as well. Psalm 18, 16 through 30, and it says, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at the moment when I was in distress. So you're in distress, and the enemy came and attacked you yet again, or more so. But look what it says next. But the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me. Because why? Because he delights in you and me. And that's why he rescued you. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow evil. I have followed all his regulations. I have never abandoned his decrees. I am blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He has seen my innocence. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity you show integrity. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. You light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. And in your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. And he is a shield for all who look to him for protection. When we read these things, we have to know God's desire for us. And we have to know where we are. Now I'm reading all these things going, man, this looks like a pretty perfect guy. Not quite like me. Okay, God, I have a lot of these things I've messed up. But he says you have opportunity. And I'm going to help you out. And when the enemy attacks you, I'm going to be there because I delight in you. Because I love you. Because I care about you. I got a letter today that I read. And the guy said, nobody has ever cared about me as much as you have. And he wrote in there, he must know me, because he said, I don't want to give you a big head, Adam, but that's the truth. I'm just telling you what was in there. But he said, Adam, nobody's loved me and cared about me and reached out to me as much as you have. By the way, Adam, I'm in prison for 20 years. And I'm in my 60s. You don't think that guy needs to be free? You don't think he needs to know that God loves him where he is? Our band's going to come up and sing right now. That's your signal. And and I just want to repeat this. God has sent me today to preach this message. And he sent me to comfort you that are brokenhearted. And you that are captives will be released. And you that are prisoners will be freed today. My message title, I didn't mention it, but it's When, Lord, When. And the answer to that is today. You see, it's really up to you. When will I be free? Man, as soon as you open the door and walk out of that prison you're in. As soon as you do that, then you are free. As we sing this song today, and we sang it earlier, but as we sing the song, I want you to think about the words to it. And I want you to realize that God has come today to comfort you, to free you. But I want to read again those promises that he's given you to bring everlasting joy. Anybody need that today? Freedom. Anybody need some freedom today? Comfort. Anybody need comfort today? Restoration. Anyone need restoration? Physical, financial, whatever it is, relationships. Festive praise. Anyone need festive praise today? A crown of beauty he has promised you. Revival, faithful reward, a double share of honor, double portion of prosperity. Anybody need that today? Stand and sing with us this morning. And as we stand and sing, if you need something, please see Pastor Eric or myself. We'd be more than happy to pray for you. Just come up front here and we can pray for you. Or you can stay in your seat and get with us afterwards. Let's stand and worship God.
Before we start singing the song, I just wanted to share something that came to me a little bit when I was before service, and then really hit home during Adam's message. This morning I walked by the garden and it was just overtaken with weeds, and it really bothered me. And it's bothered me for a couple of weeks. And I was like, I've got to do something about this. Like, I know there's some planned landscaping going, you know, like some plans in the future, but this is out of control. So started pulling some weeds, and while I'm doing it, I'm looking at the stuff. I'm like, how do you tell what's a weed and what's not a weed right now? Because it's kind of crazy. And so some things kind of look like they're intentional plants and some things don't. And while Adam was preaching and he says, you know, you built this prison, thinking sometimes, you know, you put these blocks here. Sometimes you build this wall. Sometimes you put yourself in a situation where you don't place those blocks, but you allow those blocks to be placed by not making decisions, just unintentional. Amen. So by not making choices, you're letting things happen to you. You're letting things, you know, sin, weeds, get built up around you. And those weeds are choking out those plants that are meant to be there. They are keeping them from getting water. They are keeping them from getting sun. They're getting completely choked out. And those things that are supposed to be there are starting to look like weeds. I can't tell the difference. So I'm thinking, sometimes, I mean, this world is hard. Being the parent of a teenager is really hard. Really hard. And the world that they're in is hard. And it's hard not to get to the point where you look like a weed, where they look like a weed. And when they're in a prison that they didn't even know they were building, that just got built around them. And they're getting, the sun is being choked out. They're not getting water. And they look like a weed. And I look like a weed. And sometimes we look like weeds. And I just think, we've got to live our lives very intentionally. And not every person or situation or choice that you get presented with is from God. You have to seek God to know what of those things is meant to be in your life and what of those things is not a weed. What of those things is not going to build this prison around you where you don't know how you can get out, where you need to be saved, where you need to be released from the bondage of what you've allowed to be built around you. So I just felt like that was a revelation that I needed to share. Praying for our young people, Father, I feel like it's on my heart right now. And I just hope that you guys will pray with me this week. Pray for me. Pray with me. Pray for these young people. They're in a war. There's a war going on with these young people. A child in public school is at risk. They're at risk every single day. They're at risk. I feel like we need to do a better job of praying and lifting them up. And I'm going to do that this week, and I want you guys to do it with me. Will you guys pray with me this week? Amen. Thank you.